this is one of my favorite openings to Christmas. This is Merry Christmas. Okay, so it says my first Merry time Christmas. I got to say it this year. No, I lied. I was at the other church. I said it there. First time I got to say it with you, which is very exciting to me. Merry Christmas. I'm so happy that we get to be here together today and worship Christmas, or worship Christ on Jesus' birthday, at least the day before anyway. Let me open with this scripture today. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who lived in a land of deep darkness, on them light has shined. For a child has been born for us, a son given to us. Authority rests upon his shoulders, and he is named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His authority shall grow continually, and there shall be endless peace for the throne of David and his kingdom. He will establish and uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time onward and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. Read this song to you here. A song was heard at Christmas to wake the midnight sky, a Savior's birth and peace on earth and praise to God on high. The angels sing at Christmas with all the hosts above, and still we sing the newborn King, his glory and his love. Pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time gathered in your name and in your presence. And we ask you, Lord, this day, that your Spirit fills us up, that Spirit of peace, hope, joy, and love, that your name may be praised upon our lips by our actions, that we may live you and love you by loving one another. Lord, we thank you. And we wish you a happy birthday and a Merry Christmas this day. And Lord, we rejoice at your presence in our life, every day of our life. We pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
All right, so today we light our final candle. Let me see, we've got to go on here. All right. Today we light our final candle, and the name of that candle, well, first we got to light the other ones. So for the kids, these are for the kids first. We got some kids back here. We've got some kids up here. We have some candles to light. What's the first candle that we light during Advent? Not joy. You guys are not children. It's always the choir. You have to look after the choir. So what's the first candle for the kids? What is it? What is it? Peace, almost. Hope. Did I hear hope? Hope. Hope is the first candle. All right, the second candle. I'll give you a hint. Peace. Second candle is peace. Third candle is different from all the other ones. It's the pink one. And so the third candle is joy. I heard some adults there. That you are. Children at heart. And the last one? I heard you say it. Go say it again. Love. The candle of love. All these candles, once they're lit, then on Christmas Eve, we light this final candle. And this white candle is called the candle of Jesus, also known as the Christ candle. That's right. And so we light the Christ candle today. I always get excited about the Christ candle and lighting that final one there. The thing I love about Christmas are the traditions. How many of you have traditions that you do for Christmas? What are some of your traditions? Do you know of any? Fish? Did you say fish? You do fish? Cool. Nine? No. Or seven?
Well, many of them
think of. What's the Italian? It's the seven, the Feast of Seven Fish?
Yep. Okay.
That's cool. What other traditions do you have? Christmas cookies. That is a good tradition. Any others?
Church.
Good tradition. What else? Family after church? Any other traditions? What?
Eat.
Eat's a good tradition every day. What?
Advent wreath
with the candle is our tradition. How many of you work really, really, really hard to get Christmas perfect? All the traditions down right, just the way they do it every year. We always have. My family, my dad had traditions coming out of everywhere. We did traditions for everything. Our Christmas celebration was based on traditions. We got up at 5 o'clock in the morning, and we came down the steps, and they would take our pictures, and I would take baby Jesus and put him in the manger scene. But since we're having Christmas church on Christmas, we're going to do that tomorrow. And then my youngest brother would grab the family tome, you know, that big Bible, and taking my dad, and my dad would read the Christmas story, which we're going to read a little bit later. And the thing is everything had to be just perfect. And as a parent, I find that I try to make Christmas perfect every year, try to do the right thing so that my kids, so that you guys can have a wonderful Christmas. But you know what? I found over the years that life doesn't always listen, that traditions I found are weak. They can break. They really can. You can break a tradition for one reason or another. Like, for example, we don't have a tree this year. Our tradition of having a tree got broken this year because the tree stand got broken. When we put the tree in, the water, it cracked the thing, and then the water, and we're like, boy, this tree sucks up water so quick. So we put more water in, and it sucked that up pretty quick. And then we put more water in, and finally we figured out it was just like leaking all over the floor. So we got that all cleaned up, and then the tree ended up falling down, and we couldn't get it back up again, and now the tree is outside of our house on the floor, on the ground. But not having a tree, does that ruin Christmas?
No.
Traditions might be weak and they might break, but what we're celebrating is strong. The fact that Jesus is peace, hope, love, and joy, that doesn't change. That stays around no matter what else happens. That we can always count on. And that we can rejoice with. Now, there's also another tradition around Christmas time, which I know many of you are looking very forward to, and that's giving and receiving gifts. Now, in the Bible story, we have the story about the wise men that we don't have up here. We'll put them up next week or tomorrow. The wise men came to Jesus, and they gave him 3 gifts. Do you remember the names of those gifts, children? Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. That's right. Very good. I don't know if I heard you say it, but if you did, good job. Now, they gave these gifts to Jesus. Now, there's a popular song that tells us there was another gift given to Jesus. Do you remember that gift? Every parent's nightmare for a sleeping baby. A little drummer boy? Right? I mean, what parent wants their kid to play drums for a sleeping child? But the little drummer boy, it's a beautiful song about a child who had no gift to bring, but what he had, which was the drums. Now, the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, took place in this way. When his mother had been engaged to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Her husband Joseph, being a righteous man and unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, planned to dismiss her quietly. But just when he had resolved to do this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife. For the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet. Look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. When Joseph awoke from his sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took her as his wife, but had no marital relations with her until she had born a son, and he named him Jesus. Amen. Thank you. Christmas Lights by Marie Irish. Bright Christmas stars shine on high, golden stars in the wintry sky. Christmas candles and windows bright sends greetings into the night. While in our hearts the Christmas flame glows with a love like his who came, the infant Christ of lowly birth, to bring goodwill and peace on earth. Amen. One of the things that I've always long recognized about Christmas is that though it be a time of great joy and happiness and gladness, it's a time of lights and candles and presents. That for some, Christmas is difficult for different reasons. Loss of loved ones, disappointments, pains and aches, sicknesses and illnesses. And Christmas brings sad memories. And so we realize that life and hurt doesn't just stop when Christmas rolls around. It's still there. And it has a place, though we don't want it to. But that's the beauty about the truth of Christmas. We're celebrating that God with us. We don't have to go through these things alone. We have one who walks beside us and one who has given us others to walk beside us. And so today we're going to pray for those concerns that we hold in our hearts. We're not going to share the concerns with one another, but I'm going to pray this prayer. And when I do, please give your concerns over to the Lord silently. Beloved in Christ, this Christmas Eve, it is our duty and delight to prepare ourselves to hear again the message of the angels, and to go in heart and mind to Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, the babe lying in a manger. Therefore, let us hear again from Holy Scripture the tale of the loving purposes of God, from the first days of our sin until the glorious redemption brought us by this holy child. And let us make this house of prayer glad with our carols of praise. But first, because this of all things would rejoice Jesus' heart, let us pray to him for the needs of the whole world and all his people. For peace upon the earth he came to save. For love and unity within the one church he did build. For goodwill among all peoples, and particularly at this time, let us remember the poor, the cold, the hungry, the oppressed, the sick, and them that mourn, the lonely, and the unloved, the aged, and the little children, and all who know not the Lord Jesus, or who love him not, or who by sin have grieved his heart of love. Lastly, let us remember all those who rejoice with us, but upon another shore, and in a greater light, that multitude which no one can number, whose hope was in the Word made flesh, and with whom in this Lord Jesus we forevermore are one. These prayers and praises let us humbly offer up to the throne of heaven, in the words that Christ Himself has taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Our scripture today, which we'll be focusing on, is Luke chapter 2, verse 1 to 20. And before I read this, let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank You for Your word, which we are about to read, Your story, as Luke tells us, of Jesus' birth. Lord, we pray and ask that You lead and guide our hearts, open up our minds and our ears to hear what it is that You have for us, that Your light may shine within us for all to see. And we pray for Your mercy also upon the sermon, that it too may be pleasing and honoring to You. Lord, we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Luke chapter 2, verse 1 to 20. In those days, a decree went out from Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. Excuse me. This was the first registration and was taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. All went to their own towns to be registered. Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea to the city of David called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged and who was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child, and she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger, because there was no room, no place for them in the inn. In that region, there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, heaven, and on earth peace among those whom He favors." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord had made us known." So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger. When they saw this, they made known what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these words and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them. This is the word for the people of God. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. The story that you just heard from Luke is one that I've heard. Well, maybe you've heard a lot. Every Christmas, like I said, my dad would read it from our big family Bible. Written in the translation that Jesus Himself carried around, the King James Version. Jesus didn't carry that, it didn't exist then. But the King James Version, of course, has a very special place in a lot of our hearts for its poetic sounds, and it just rolls off the tongue, though that wasn't the King James Version. But I remember it well, and I've heard this story so much, and there's so many good things about it, and so many people that have been touched by Jesus' birth that we read about in this story, and some of which aren't even in the Nativity. Simeon and Anna, which you read about later if you keep on going. Zechariah and Elizabeth and little baby John, who was just in Elizabeth's womb. I mean, all these people touched by Christ's birth. But the ones that we're going to talk about today are these guys, the shepherds. Now, we all hear all kinds of things about the shepherds, and I'm sure you might have heard this same sermon too, but the shepherds, I have a special place in my heart for them. And mostly because a lot of other people during the shepherd's day and age don't. The shepherds aren't someone that you invite over dinner for Christmas Day, per se. For example, you wouldn't, people wouldn't invite the shepherds over for a meal. The shepherds were a dirty bunch. They were smelly, hanging out with sheep all day long. Have you ever heard the phrase, that person talks like a sailor? Right? Do you know what that means? Do I need to explain it? If there's anyone beside you who doesn't know what it means to speak like a sailor, please whisper to them what that means. Right? So, in this day and age, it would have been they talk like a shepherd. Kind of the same thing. They were a uncouth, uncultured, dirty, rough around the edges people. You wouldn't be hanging out with them in good company. If someone came in who was a shepherd to a building, the rest of the people would turn around and say, "Hey, look, a shepherd's here. A shepherd's here. Don't talk to them, they're a shepherd." You know, this kind of thing. But what I love about this is I like people that aren't polished. I like people that don't go out of their way to try and be someone they're not around other people. I like people that speak their mind, that live who they are, even if it's not cool to do so. The shepherds definitely were that. And the neat thing about the shepherds, because they were so rough around the edges, because they were so looked down upon, because they weren't fit for society, for proper, polite society, the shepherds were the very first people that God went to tell them the announcement that Jesus, the Messiah, was born. Now, if you're a person in PR, you don't go to people who people don't listen to share a message with other people. But God did. Obviously, God didn't take any PR classes. But the show he put on was quite fantastic for the shepherds. They were out telling stories, relaxing in the fields, keeping watch over the sheep, and a big light appeared, and the angels showed up, and they told them there is a child, the Messiah is born, and they told them the sign, you know, wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger, and they sang, and the shepherds, you know, were afraid at first, but then they were in awe by what was going on. And after the angels left this great light show, the shepherds probably looked at one another and said, "Did you see that?" Just to make sure that they weren't the only one crazy. And all the shepherds did. And then after they checked their sanity, they said to one another, "Okay, let's go see what this is all about. Let's go see if what the angel said was true." Now, I love this part. Because we're all told in life from a very young age that each and every one of us has a responsibility. God created us for a particular purpose, and we're to go out and do that purpose, whatever that might be. My call in my life, I believe, was to be a pastor. And so, through God's help, I became a pastor. But it doesn't matter what it is. Each and every one of us has a particular calling. Martin Luther used to say that if you milk cows to the glory of God. Because some people's callings to milk cows, because we need people to milk cows. Well, maybe not anymore, but You know, you may be called to be an office worker. You may be called to be a teacher. Whatever your calling is, do it for God's glory. But the shepherds were doing their calling out in the field. Sometimes God puts an important message in our mouth that needs us to shirk those responsibilities for a moment. To share that story that Christ places upon our hearts to share. The shepherds were told to go and see this thing. And as they looked around one another to see what they're going to do next, they had to have seen all their sheep sitting there. And said, we still got to do this. We'll find them later. So they left. Their calling, their responsibility, the thing that they had on their schedule to do that day, they left. Ran down to Bethlehem. Saw this thing that the angels told them about. And indeed, it was true. Jesus was there. Mary and Joseph was there. He was wrapped in swaddling clothes. And they didn't say, oh, we saw it, it's true, let's go back to our sheep. What they did next then, after they saw that Jesus was indeed there, the shepherds then returned. But as they returned, they were glorifying and praising God for all they heard and seen, as had been told to them. And then in verse 17, when they saw this, they had made known what had been told to them about this child. And all that they told it to were amazed at what the shepherds told them. They didn't go right back. They went back telling the story. There's truth that when we get from Advent to Christmas, we have a very set schedule how to get there. How many of you have been thrown detours throughout your life? Things you never planned for. Not in the plan. I have a lot of things in my life, not just between Advent and Christmas, but between like birth to this point that weren't in the plan. They weren't what I felt like Christ called me to. And yet they had to be taken care of. And through those unexpected moments, not always good, blessings were able to arise from them somehow. Ways to see God's love, stories to tell others, having the ability to sit with another who have gone through something similar to what I had went through and share with them Christ's love. Shepherds learn that detours happen, but sometimes you have to pay attention to the detour before you can get back to your regularly scheduled life. And sometimes, like in this moment of Christmas, the detours are full of blessings. So I pray that as we go throughout our Christmas celebration tomorrow, whatever comes, I pray that we're able to focus our eyes upon Christ. And through that, be blessed in those moments, whatever they might be. Amen. I'll share with you this final benediction today. Let us go from this place proclaiming that we have seen the glory of God, believing that there is a light that shines in the darkness, which the darkness shall never overcome. And may the love of the Creator, the joy of the Spirit, and the peace of the Christ child be with you this Christmas and evermore. Amen and amen. Go in peace.